game, and he'll run away from defenders in the run game. I think that is the kind of trait you can hang your hat on as a player, and let's get him on the team. We'll figure out a way to use this guy, and he'll be effective for us. Welcome in to the Hot Read Podcast for Wednesday, April the 17th. I'm your host, Easton Freeze, director of published content here at BroadwaySportsMedia.com. We're also brought to you by the 440 Podcast Network. You can follow me on social media at Easton Freeze. I am joined, as always, by producer JT, who you can follow on social media at JT underscore Runky. JT, I almost flip-flopped our social handles, but follow us both. How are you, my friend? What are we doing?
I'm good. I'm tired, but you know, someone's got to do it,
baby, because we got
someone's
got to
do it. We got a lot of talking to do because we continue to prep for the NFL draft, which is now, I believe, 9 days away. Do we still just have a long road ahead of us with content? And that's a good thing for the people listening, you know, maybe not for my sleep schedule, but a good thing for the people listening nonetheless.
Listen, as reporters covering the draft, as content creators, this is known that the 2 weeks leading up to the draft, it's just the way it is, baby. I wouldn't want it any other way, frankly. We are cranking out content for you all and not getting a whole lot of rest. There really are not enough hours in the day, but we're making it work. And today we are trucking right along with our draft positional series, covering another double episode, two positions today. Cornerbacks, God, it's hard to keep them straight. That's Thursday. Don't worry about it. Today is running backs and safeties. Okay. They don't have anything to do with each other, but we decided to lump them together because they are both position groups where you've got 3, 4, 5 guys that are like, okay, perhaps. And then like 3, 4, 5 guys, not the deepest of groups, but the Titans are in need of both of these positions. Safety more so than running back. Running back, you know, their top two guys, really the running back depth is what they need to address. And if they're wanting to play a more like running back stable, running back by committee style of ball, a third running back certainly can be useful and an active element to your offense. And then in terms of safeties, they really are struggling in that department. They have got really one guy that is a bona fide starter and one guy that is a solid backup depth rotational guy. And then we'll figure it out when we get to August. That's kind of the deal with the Titans right now at safety. So you could absolutely see the Tennessee Titans addressing one of or both of these positions on day three in this draft. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all. And because of the nature of these groups, like most of the guys we're talking about today, if not all of them, are going to be, you know, day three guys the Titans could potentially target with one of their picks on not this Saturday, but next. So some exciting discussion to be had there. If you are following along with all of the Hot Read Podcast draft content, as every good boy and girl across America should be doing, we want to update you on where we are and where we are going. So just to give you a quick look at what our schedule looks like before we get rolling on today's show, skipping all the way to the draft, the most important thing is don't miss our draft live shows. That we're back. It's year three of the draft live shows. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a hoot. We're going to have a great time. It's me. It's JT. We're going to be sitting and sipping and enjoying the draft along with you all, reacting live to all of the madness. Last year was a ton of fun. JT and I were meeting last night, planning a little bit about what we want that to look like this year. And it's going to be a good time. We would love to react to not just what the Titans are doing, but what the entire first and second days of the draft are like with you all. And, it's kind of the culmination of what the last 3 months for all of us have been. We want to experience that alongside you guys. So we hope to see you guys there all of night one and night two next Thursday and Friday. We will be live on Broadway Sports Media's YouTube page, on 440's YouTube page, all over Twitter, wherever you usually find the show. Before that, next week, we've got a couple of episodes we'll be doing on, I believe, Wednesday. Let me double check here. On Wednesday, Mock Draft 2.0. So the last episode before the actual draft gets here. The final mock draft from us, my mock draft 2.0, will be coming out. We'll go through the entire first round, predicting what will happen, and a 7-round Titans mock draft. On Tuesday, we'll be joined by our friend, Sean McAvoy, quarterback coach, extraordinaire, friend of the show, going through the top 10 quarterbacks in this draft class. And he has been working with, spending a good amount of time this offseason, with Will Levis and the entire Titans quarterback room over there. And so he's got some updates for us exclusively on the show as to what those guys have been up to, how they're doing, how they're feeling, some insights on what their offseason has looked like. So don't miss that one on Tuesday. On Monday, the do and don't draft prospects for the Titans, the 2024 edition of JT and I's big magnum opus article that goes on Broadway Sports Media's website. We'll be walking through that. We go through every single round, highlighting players that the Titans should and should not target and giving examples of why and reasons why. JT, you and I went through this list last year, or the last year version last night, and we're kind of like tallying up. Okay, this was, yep, this is a hit. Ah, we missed on this one. Pretty much a 65-70% hit rate last year, which I think is pretty solid. Now, a lot of these rookies, we don't quite know what they are, so a lot of guys we couldn't really give a thumbs up or a thumbs down to yet. But dare I say, last year's edition, pretty accurate.
There definitely were a lot of hits, and then there was as many big misses, I think, though, that may have
as kind many. Of... No. There were not as many. We tallied this up. It was at least twice as many hits as misses.
Right, but
myself short.
Right, but I think that the misses that we did have, we started counting as like three or four instead of one.
There were like three big misses. That I think you were way. I think you were way.
Maybe
there were a couple. There were a couple, like you wrote, not to draft a certain wide receiver in the first round who went to a pretty solid situation and then, you know, played pretty well his rookie year. But I think that's situationally dependent, right? We don't need to go on the misses. There's a lot of hits. Yeah. That's the point. There were, in fact,
there were a lot of hits. Correct.
There were some big hits in there. So we're just gonna look to improve on that this year. So that'll be on Monday. And then this week we've got today's episode going through these two positions on Thursday, cornerbacks and edges, and that's the whole schedule. So if you're joining us live, every time we do a show, tune in Thursday for edge and cornerback. Tune in Sunday for the do and don't draft prospects for the Titans in 2024. On Monday for the top 10 quarterbacks with Sean McAvoy, with an exclusive sneak peek into what Will Levis's offseason has looked like. And then on Tuesday, the mock draft 2.0 full first round and 7-round Titans mock. And then, of course, the live draft shows on Thursday and Friday. That's what we are looking at. Let's get back to today, however, and dive into these two position groups. Before we do, if you're with us live, we appreciate you being here. A number of you already in the comments over at Broadway Sports Media's YouTube page. If you're not with them, join them. Leave Twitter or leave Facebook, wherever else you're catching this live right now. Head on over to Broadway Sports Media's YouTube page. Find this live stream there, and then the comment section of that video is where you can be a part of the conversation today, like Derek, who wishes us a good afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Derek. Kenneth, grilling steaks and ready to talk running backs and safeties. Love that. It's officially grilling season around here. It's warming up. I need to get the cover off the grill and fire that bad boy back up. I'm with you on that. Paul, with us as well. I was not late at all, Paul, so you can take it and shove it. For today, at least. I'm sure I'll be late again in the near future. JT, let's start with the running backs. And this is a better group than the safety group. So we'll start with the guys that are, and they're more exciting to talk about, frankly, because while about half of these 10 guys we're going to detail four or five of these guys will probably go on day two, round three type prospects. And then the rest will be day three guys, round four, five, six. There are a lot of interesting while this group lacks a true star, they aren't lacking in upside and potential. I do like a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. The ceilings for a couple of these guys who are going to go in maybe late day three, early day four, I think is huge upside. However, I think the floor of this class is really weak. And that's where where you see the biggest difference from this year's class to last year's class, who had two guys who went in the top 12 picks in the draft. Right. You have guys, it's a mixed bag of guys who are either, I feel like, super really young guys who are still kind of developing and still
really
finding
crazy,
their game.
Crazy athletic ability. Right.
Or you have like the old 2007 Chevy pickup truck that's been put through the ringer already 4,000 times.
You have faith it's going to work. It's going to get you to point A, point B.
And it's hard to find the middle and see where you can truly find the value of this class. And that's why I think that, once again, I would be really shocked to see a running back go in maybe the first 50, even the first 60 picks. I wouldn't see that really happening until round three on Friday. I think before we go into the top 10 running backs, we should talk about, of course, the Titans do have Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears on the roster. And as Derek says, We're pretending like the legend of Julius Chestnut doesn't exist now. No, I think Julius Chestnut still very much exists and he's a person, but still.
Preseason legend, Julius Chestnut out of Sacred Heart University. Yes, of course.
I think it still begs the question that I wouldn't be surprised on day three if the Titans took a swing at one of these guys, mostly because we've seen kind of the nature of the contracts that Tony Pollard is on. Obviously, Tyjae Spears, we've seen him kind of produce at that level, but once again, not having one ACL, that can always derail your train whenever it happens, and we don't really know when it would happen. It just kind of does. And so having another guy in this class where the value is nice on that day three, I think is something that the Titans will really want to look into. And I think there's a lot of good fits on day three for the Titans that make drafting one of them really makes sense and is a good fit.
Yeah, and if you're reading the tea leaves from what the Titans have done this offseason, I'm trying to pull up the current updated list on, here we go, on 30 visits. They've had two running backs in for 30 visits. They are, you know, for reference, they've had as many running backs in so far as they have safeties, as they have guards, as they have linebackers and edge combined. They've had as many running backs into the building as they've had wide receivers. So they're not ignoring the position. They are telegraphing to us, we're thinking about adding to this room. And running back, if you're going to run a stable style approach, a committee approach, it's the kind of position where, think about the 49ers. They seem to draft a new running back every other year. You're just churning bodies, right? Especially on day three, these guys that you can get, and, you know, 6 weeks into the season, a coaching staff can realize, it was worth the shot, but this guy's not going to work. He's not the future. Like, you're out on the guy quickly. You got to keep churning bodies, and eventually you're going to get hits. And if the idea is we're never going to really pay big money contract to be a bell cow guy, we're not going to do the Derrick Henry thing anymore. We're just going to get solid guys to come in and be fresh bodies that we can throw at the running game. Then you've got to constantly be getting new guys in, because, you know, once a Tyjae Spears level player who could end up being great, I'm not saying he can't, but let's say he's just good, not great, for the entirety of his 4-year contract with the Titans, he hits free agency, you'd love to have a player of that caliber already ready to go on a rookie contract to, you know, succeed him and not have to pay a big money contract to a guy like that. So that's why I wouldn't be shocked at all if they were to draft some of these guys. With that said, JT, let's pull up the board and look at numbers 10 through 6 for you and I. And I, once again, have not actually looked at these because I find it intriguing to compare our lists beforehand. So we've got a number of overlapping guys here. Do you want to start? Let me start with Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, because it looks like he's on my list and not yours. The big thing with Braylon Allen, And with these guys that, again, like, let me check. Braylon Allen on the consensus board right now is number. Oh, wait, hang on just a minute. So is Braylon Allen? Let me just double check. He's not in your top five, or is he?
He is. He is my number five.
Okay, so you know what? Never mind then. Never mind. I forgot that I'm so much lower on Allen than the consensus here. So let's get to him when we get to him, because I have him at 10. You have him at 5. He is on the consensus board, running back 5, expected to go in the top 100 picks. Let me explain why I'm not crazy about Allen a little bit later. So let's skip over him. Let's do a Ray Davis instead of out of Kentucky, who I'm higher on than you. He's your number 10 guy. Do you want to give the one big thing on a Ray Davis, who on the consensus board is 114, what you see in Davis to put him on your top 10 list?
Yeah, there is a lot to like with Ray Davis. I think he does a good job protecting the football. I think he really does have good pass catching ability. Only three drops on 81 targets in the last three seasons that he played. He was a transfer from Vanderbilt, so he was in the system, then moved to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But there's some nice things to have. I don't think he can be a bell cow. And the reason why I'm a little bit lower on him is when I kind of talked about there being a couple, you know, beat up old reliable Chevy pickup trucks in this class, Ray Davis is one of them. He's over 24 and he's had 834 career touches in his college career. So that's a lot of tread on the tires already when you're looking to bring in a running back for anybody's team that you want to kind of use up that rookie contract. Mixed in there with the athletic testing. You know, his measurables aren't the most exciting in the world. He's very short for the running back size, 5'8" and 3/8" on that, 211. But you know, when you look at a smaller guy like that, okay, what's a guy like that have to have at the next level? You know, you'd like to see, if he's small, you'd like to see more speed to his game. Well, he only runs a 4.52, so you're not really getting that trade off with the size there. So when you look at him, if you're looking to bring him in as maybe more of a AJ Dillon type role to your offense, I could see that working out. But anything higher than that at the next level, it's hard for me to be on board.
That's essentially my one big thing for him, is that he's got a pretty defined ceiling, and he may be closer to maxed out as a player than some of these other guys on this list. He's going to be 25 later on this season, so he's on the older side. Like you said, he's a smaller athlete, slightly above, smaller player, slightly above average athletically, but he is further along in his development than a lot of the guys on this list. The vision and the feel for space and the blocking ability, like, he's got some pro style traits on tape that I think are going to translate well immediately for a team that is looking to plug him into a rotational role and have him be an efficient ball carrier that we rotate in and out of there. And he's more like, I think that's a perfect guy to bring up in a AJ Dillon kind of role. Not going to be your bell cow, not even going to be your one, but if you're getting him on day three and can plug him in for a team that like is probably, I'd imagine he's a better fit on a team that's closer to competing than some of these other guys, because I think that he can come in and be that B running back that you need to kind of supplement the running games. That's why I have him at 6. You've got Bucky Irving out of Oregon at number 9. I don't have him on my list. He would have been 11 or 12 for me. Do you want to explain what you saw in Bucky Irving?
Yeah, I think that he really has the potential to be this year's Tyjae Spears type role guy in this class. That's what I kind of see him as. He's only 21 years old. You know, he is on the smaller side, 5'9", 192. So, you know, he doesn't have the huge frame that you're looking for in a running back. So I think why he's low on this list for me and off of yours is that the size is definitely a concern. But when you look at Bucky Irving, first of all, Bucky is just an electric name. So like, put that up on the board for top 10 draft names. This draft cycle. But anyways, like, his speed is fine as well. 4.55. So just like Ray Davis, he's smaller and doesn't really have that speed. But what I really like about him is that despite not having the speed, he kind of has similar traits to a Jahmyr Gibbs last year, in which the stop start ability and the ability to kind of regain his top speed when he breaks away is really good. And that's why I think that this year he's that little speed demon that is not going to be the number one all the time. But you give this guy 3 or 4 carries, it's really, it could just be a home run swing for you on any given drive. And I think that's why, you know, when you look at him, he's, and how young he is, I think that's something that could be really enticing for a team.
By the way, Bucky, which you like so much, is a chosen name. His actual first name is Marquise, spelled MAR'KEISE, which I've never seen that spelt that way before. But yeah, Marquise Bucky Irving. You're right that he has to rely on his athleticism and his speed, because the size is not there. 5'9", 192. He's built similarly to like a Jalen Warren. I don't know if the reason why I don't have him on my list is I don't know if he has the athletic upside of a Warren or a Kyren Williams as a similar guy. If you're looking at the mock draftable athletic composition similarities, he's on that list as well. Devonta Freeman, another one on there. So I wasn't crazy about the lack of size, and at that size, at 5'9", 192 as a running back, I'm looking for you to be a little bit better of an athlete than he is.
And it definitely translates. I think that he's one of these guys on this list that I think would be not a great fit for the Titans, because also his pass blocking is at that size, it's not going to work, you know? And so I think that in a Titans specific lens, I don't think Bucky Irving could really thrive in that role. But you put him on a team like kind of what the Keaton Mitchell kind of form was for the Ravens last year, give him that kind of role, I think he could be really interesting and have some potential to have some upside in the NFL.
Absolutely. Let's move on here to, let me do Tyrone Tracy Jr. out of Purdue, because he is my number nine player. I don't believe he's on your list. Am I correct?
He's not. No, he would be 11 or 12. Like, he's right up there.
Right. So Tracy comes in at 5'11", 209 pounds, an older player. He's going to be 25 this rookie season. But I did like his, I think he can do more than one thing as a rusher. I don't think he's a one trick pony in that way. He also has some receiving ability that he showed in college. I watched some of his tape, when I was just trying to go through these day three guys and see who popped for me visually, who looked like they had some juice, Tracy was on that list for me. And so I like that he's well built. I think that he's got, he's got above average speed. He's got above average athleticism in general. And he's got a couple of tools in his bag as a runner that I like, that I think are going to translate well to the NFL. He's not somebody that is all just raw athlete, but doesn't really know what they're doing back there. He's got a plan as a runner when he attacks, and he can do more than one thing. So that's why I have him at number nine on the consensus board. Tracy comes in at 174. So he's the kind of guy Tennessee could really look to get in round 5, 6, 7, if he were to fall. And I think have a player that, yes, there may not be a whole lot of meat on the bone with the age. And let me see how often he was run in college. So he didn't play a ton in college, and he was really efficient. In 2022, 8.1 yards per carry. In 23, 6.3 yards per carry, which went down because his volume went up dramatically. Really, 23 was his big year, but his highest volume year in 2023, he only had 114 carries. So despite that age, I think there is a lot of tread on those tires, and that's why I put him at number nine.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think they're, looking at the age, and it's always important to put it into context, right? Seeing how much, even past the age, seeing how much he's been put through at that level. Glory Day in the comment says, broke a tackle on a per-touch basis higher than Bijan Robinson coming out last season, which I think goes to show you that he could be in that mold, where he could be that perfect fit between a Tyjae Spears and a Tony Pollard for this team to be that third guy in the rotation.
All right, these next two guys we have at 7 and 8, we just have them flip-flopped, and they're both very interesting prospects for very different reasons. Let's start with Audric Estime out of Notre Dame, a running back who a lot of people were really, really high on. And then we got to Indianapolis, and this man ran his 40. And it didn't go great for Audric. It really didn't. It improved a little bit at his pro day, but his official 40-yard dash time is the 10th percentile, 4.71. And at 5'11", 221 pounds, he's on the bigger side, but not of a size that justifies not, being so slow, frankly. And it's strange because on tape, he doesn't look like he's lacking speed in that dramatically, at least. And then athletically, the rest of his testing numbers really strong. 86th percentile vert, 87th percentile broad, really strong, 79th percentile bench. He's got long 91st percentile arms for a running back. So he's got the length to participate in the passing game. I don't know. What do you make of Audric? On the consensus board, he comes in at 106, and he has been up and down on people's boards as like very high on him. And then the combine testing numbers, and a lot of people are like, you can't do that. Can't do a 4.7 back. I don't know. I think there's still reason to have hope that he could be an impact player in the NFL.
I definitely think so. If we didn't think that was the case, I don't think he'd be on either of our lists. You have to wonder if maybe the way he just trained for the 40 is something that goes into that, because I agree with you.
He thought he could just show up and try and just maybe, do it.
It's interesting because I'm with you on that. When he breaks out and has that speed in game on tape, it looks like it's there, at least to the eye test, but when apparently you put a laser on it, things are totally different. And that maybe that's just the disconnect there. But I think when you look at a guy like Audric Estime, you look at someone who is durable, right? And I think that the upside with him is that his projection and comp for him at the next level, which I've seen in a multitude of places, is like former Seattle Seahawks running back Chris Carson. I think that when you look at him like that, and you could get the same kind of production a Chris Carson did, but have the better durability. I think that's something that you'd really want for a team looking for a running back on a rookie contract to be mm-hmm. sort of your bell cow. Obviously, he's one of the youngest running backs in the class here. I don't even believe he might have just turned 21, if not.
No, right, he'll turn 21 there. This year. Not yet.
So super, super young. Mm-hmm. And that durability is still there. And you just have to wonder that maybe the speed, I guess that's just something that either you have to see to believe or just go with the numbers, right?
Well, he doesn't have to be this. Like, I think he's a power back at the next level. Mm-hmm. He can be a short yardage specialist in a committee on a team. Like, the power profile is strong. 892 yards after contact last season, which was ninth in FBS. I'm glad that you brought up his age, because that was what I had written down, but skipped over it. I think he can be a strong power back and a third down short yardage specialist kind of guy who can develop into something a little bit more. But he's got the size and the athleticism outside of the speed that I think you can work with at the next level. Let's go to Isaac Garendo, who is a very different type of player. He is on the bigger size, so similar build, 6'2", 221. But this guy can fly. 90, whereas estimate was a 10th percentile 40-yard dash guy, this is a 98th percentile 40-yard dash guy in Garendo, running back out of Louisville, by the way. He ran a 4.33 blazing speed, and you see it on the tape. I like this guy a ton. He wasn't even on my radar until after the Senior Bowl. I think I just caught wind of a conversation our buddies Zach and Sony were talking about him. Or no, I think Zach put him in one of his mock drafts, and I was like, who the heck is this Garendo guy? I go and I watch, and I'm like, I like this guy a lot. And I think Zach pioneered this take that he's a uniquely, and this was before Tony Pollard was on the team, so it changes the math a little bit, but I think he'd be a unique fit for the Titans as a day three pick. If they wanted to go running back and he was there in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, I would not mind an addition of Garendo at all. He's crazy athletic. The 40 is not, like, it's not just the 40. He can jump out of the gym, 95th percentile broad, 97th percentile vert. He's agile, 71st percentile, three cone drill. There's really not a whole lot to dislike about the guy at the college level. Pretty productive on a good Louisville team last year, 810 yards, but 200, almost 250 in the receiving game. So versatile in that way, 6.1 yards per attempt. I think there's a ton to like about Garendo. And I don't know, part of me thinks he may go higher than everyone expects because there is just so much to like.
You also have to mention with a Garendo, the complete package you're getting. I mean, he's an all-around back, both in the running game, the receiving game, and then also in the pass-blocking game. He was one of the best pass-blocking running backs that I was watching on tape. But like you said, he's a very interesting case because with that athleticism, you know, he's an athletic king. He's the athletic freak of this running back class, but mm-hmm. he lacks some of those traits and intangibles in running backs that are harder to teach. When you watch him on tape, it's not like he is making all of these defenders miss with his ability to run on the field. You know, he's not making very decisive and creative cuts on mm-hmm. the field to kind of extend the play. Now I'm not comparing him at all to this player, but you also see on film that yes, he has the speed like that, but sometimes you kind of have to give him the wide open lane for him to continue going, like to get him going, like in, as we saw in the later stages of a Derrick Henry's career, where it's like that speed is, it's there. You just mm-hmm. have to, you got to let him get up to it. And I think that's something I saw in his game that, you know, may knock him a few points, but I mean, the athletic traits are there. And if you're looking to swing on a guy who's, you know, despite being 23, 24, still has, not that many carries in his career at the collegiate level. I think he's a pretty safe bet if you want to base on the traits alone.
Fair enough. Let's get to the guy that I almost got to earlier, but then I ended up waiting because he's number 5 on your list. He's number 10 on mine. It's Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. Now he is on the consensus board. He's a top 100 pick here. He's at 98. You like him a lot more than I do. So maybe you give the case for him and I'll give the case for not him against him.
So he's kind of the opposite of what, you know, a Ray Davis or a Bucky Irving was, where, mm-hmm. you know, I like the speed that he has with also being super tall. I mean, he's 6'1" and 2'8", 235 pounds. This dude is a wrecking ball, and he plays like it. With the speed to go with to boot with that. Also
to go with to boot with that. No, I agree. Yeah.
If you look at a young player like Audric Estime, and you thought he was young, just wait until you learn about Braylon Allen, who's even younger than very him, young. Just turned fair. 20, and going into this class. Now, I think that one of the big knocks on a guy like
this guy was Braylon born in 2004. Allen, if that's wild. That's weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the big knock for him is ball security, right? 9 fumbles in his career, 4 fumbles in 2023. I think that's a big red flag. But all things considered, I think with the patience that he plays with and that speed at that size, I think that there could be really something for a team that really wants to bring in a young RB1 to their team.
So I agree with a lot of that, and he is on my top 10 list. So I like him. I think inside the top 100 is really rich for my blood with this guy. The primary reason why he's lower on my board is I put on the tape and it just doesn't do it for me. I don't know quite why, but I didn't see a whole lot of burst. I didn't see a whole lot of versatility. He strikes me as the path for him to be successful at the NFL level, I think, is a pretty narrow one. Does not offer a ton of upside in the passing game. He's not super creative as a runner from what I've seen. There's a significant track record for injury is another big reason why he missed time due to injury every single season in college. So there's just things that the age is a big selling point. The production in college, I believe, make sure I'm not crossing my wires here. Yeah. Very productive in college, almost 1,000 yards every season that he played. But you know, I don't love him from what I saw on tape, and maybe that's just, maybe I need to watch more games of him, because a lot of people seem to like him a lot. I wasn't wowed by any one element of his game.
I don't think there's a lot of explosiveness to his game. I think you look at a guy maybe like also in that AJ Dillon category, a taller AJ Dillon, which
I guess
you
that's could fair.
Just look at maybe like a Tyler Allgeier as well to fit into that kind of mold. Like he's not going to be the sexy guy on the field that is making all these plays all the time. However, like it's a pretty surefire bet for that guy that you kind of look at him on Sundays and like, this guy was productive. He's like the name brand of running backs, right? You're like, how is this guy so productive despite not doing anything super flashy?
That's fair. So that is Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. Let's go ahead and Blake, free and slip here. Let's break into our top 5 with Blake Corum out of Michigan. We were talking about him a little bit before the show today. I finalized this list today for the show. I've been tinkering with this list for a couple of weeks now, and I am already, as I'm saying it out loud, wishing I had him a little bit lower on my list. I don't love anything about Blake Corum's game. I really don't. If I had to pick of my top 5 players who's most likely to be the bust, it is by far and away Blake Corum, because I don't think he does anything particularly great. He just does everything good, fine, if that makes sense. He is running back 3 per the consensus, 72 on the consensus board. If somebody takes him in the top 75 picks, I don't see it at all. JT, do you share this sentiment?
I mean, yeah, it's another one of these pickup trucks with a lot of tread on the tires for a guy that I think it maybe worked well because of the system that he also was playing in. I'd be interested to see him in a different system. I think that you also have to put his size into contention there. You know, not the biggest frame in the world for a guy in that kind of system, and was still able to make it work. So
5'8", 215. Yeah,
there are things to like about his game. I think he does have some shiftiness and creative running ability.
You do?
I think so. Okay. If you look on some of the plays,
I didn't find him particularly elusive at all.
If you look at especially the Penn State game, I think that a lot of the reason of why that they were continuing to be able to pound the rock in that game, especially against the pretty stout Penn State defense, was on the back of Blake Corum, and not just shoving the ball for like 3-4 yards. It was Blake Corum's ability to, he wasn't playing every snap, but the ability for him to make plays with the opportunities he was given that I really liked on that tape. So why I have him not in my top five, right, though, I think is the concerns of, you know, so much tread on the tires for a rookie running back coming out, that there are still some concerns for me.
Yeah. Yards after contact is another thing he doesn't do particularly well. 2.42 yards after contact in college, which was well below average. Only 600. So he had 1,200 yards and change last year, and less than half of them came after contact, which was 61st in FBS. He's not a big play creator either. Only 13 carries of more than 15 yards last year, tied for 89th in the FBS. I just think he's like a steady Eddie, boring guy. He kind of reminds me of another Michigan running back who came out a couple of years ago who may or may not be a Tennessee Titan. So, you know, that, like, it's a little Hassan Haskins here to me, where I'm just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be excited about with this guy.
Yeah, I think,
and yet I have number five. This is like draft media peer pressure, because as I'm saying it out loud, I'm giving a lot of reasons why I should have him lower, and yet he's top three in the consensus, and I have him at five. I'm like, if I'm sitting here looking at the rest of my list, there are some guys, and I'm like, I kind of like an Isaac Grendo more than a Blake Corum, but I don't know. To give some credit to Corum, there's an element of pro readiness, played in a pro system, does some things at a higher level in terms of like developmental track. You know, he can be more of an impact in the pass blocking game than some of these other more raw guys are. So maybe that's what you hang your hat on. But yeah, that's Blake Corum out of Michigan. Not exactly the most rave review from us. Let's get to some guys that we do like a lot and talk about a rave review. This is your guy in this group, JT. And I was surprised you didn't irresponsibly put him any higher than you did. I think this is absolutely fair. I think that because it's the same as where I put him at number four. Let's talk about Marshawn Lloyd out of USC, a guy we saw at the Senior Bowl in Mobile a couple of months ago. And you were allured by him in that moment, and you have been since. I'll let you take it and run with your guy. Tell me about Marshawn Lloyd.
Yeah, so Marshawn Lloyd, I think, is one of the better prospects in this draft class from from an overall standpoint, right? He goes to the Senior Bowl. I think he was, bar none, the best running back at the Senior Bowl that week. He kind of, for his size, he comes in at 5'8 and 6'8", 220 pounds. So he's a shorter, bigger, more muscular back. But what I saw at the Senior Bowl, his receiving ability is what really caught my attention there. The pass catching ability that he had for that kind of size, I think, is something that I think really stood out. And then pair it with the 40-yard dash time of 4.46. This dude really does have some burst. Went and played in the USC system with Caleb Williams. I think that also is a big thing of why he's not higher. Maybe just playing in that system at USC maybe limited some of his opportunities.
I know we want to pretend there weren't fumbles, but there were fumbles.
I was getting there. If I had
to play devil's advocate, the man needs to hold on to the ball.
Yes, he does. He had three fumbles in 2023, eight for his career. So kind of like Braylon Allen, one of those guys who, you know, ball security is a big thing. But before going to USC, was one of the most productive running backs at South Carolina when they had their really good season in 2022.
If you go back, SC. How about that?
Yes, USC to the lesser USC. If you look at some of the tape especially in the game against the University of Tennessee back when he was with South Carolina, dude was playing with his hair on fire. And I think that's something that you can see at the next level and that teams could get really excited about.
Yeah, I like a lot about Marshawn Lloyd. Very athletic guy. 82nd percentile 40 yard dash, ran a 4.46. You gave a lot of great reasons to believe in a Marshawn Lloyd. Let me play a little bit of devil's advocate. The fumbles were a thing on tape. He does a handful of boneheaded things every game where you're like, what? It's blocked for you. Hit the hole right there. Quit. You're making it too complicated. You're doing too much a little bit out there. But I think that kind of thing can be coached out of him. He's a starting caliber NFL athlete, and he's a spark plug kind of guy. So he's got short area quickness, smooth footwork. I like, you know, relatively instinctual when he's doing what is schemed for him and not trying to overthink it a little bit. But you know, again, if I'm playing advocate here, never carried a heavy workload in college, and he's not super proven in the passing game. So there are some elements to his game that, you know, leave a little bit to be desired in that way, but super elusive. When he was involved in the passing game, there were flashes there. So I'm not saying he can't be that guy. We just didn't see it a whole lot in college. Overall, on the consensus board, he comes in at, I think, 115. So 113. I would not mind that at all at the top of day three, Marshawn Lloyd added to your team. I think he adds a little bit of juice for you. Okay, let's move on to the next guy here. Let's do Trey Benson.
Because we have the top three here, but just in a different order. And I think when you look at this order, it's more of with this top three, as we've seen for a lot of these, the upper of this group, it's really a pick your flavor type thing. Mm-hmm. I think for you, you're going more, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like on your list, you're going for more of the build and the elusiveness of a running back more than the speed of, like, because with Jalen Wright, that's just like a little Tasmanian devil versus a Trey Benson, who's more reserved in that aspect. I think
I just see a more pro ready player in Benson. He's a sturdy tackle breaker. He's instinctual. He's got short area quickness despite being 6'2", 216. So on the taller side, but not super heavy. His tape was my favorite to watch out of any of these guys. I think that the speed is something that jumps off the page. Ran a 4.39. So he's got vertical ability when used in the passing game, and he'll run away from defenders in the run game. I think that is the kind of trait you can hang your hat on as a player. And let's get him on the team. We'll figure out a way to use this guy, and he'll be effective for us. 21 years old. So certainly not somebody that you're worried about having too much tread on their tires. He's a playmaker. He was constantly on tape doing creative things and making yards for your team, which is a valuable trait that is kind of an intangible. Like this guy makes things happen that aren't necessarily schemed for us. They aren't necessarily a part of the plan. And that's a good thing. And that's something you can hang your hat on with an NFL prospect. He is on the consensus board at 61. It might be a little bit rich for my blood, but I absolutely, just in general, would take him in the third round.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that his tape was one of the most fun. It's like, it made me feel excited about watching this running back class. And then you start to watch.
He goes downhill. Yeah. You can't start with the Trey Benson.
Down, like, right. Pro readiness. I think he's the guy that if you're looking for a rookie to start day one, he is one of the best shots here for you. And I think honestly, he's the different compliment, not the opposite, but a compliment to a Jalen Wright, who has the same kind of speed that Trey Benson was. Trey Benson ran a 4.39. Jalen Wright ran a 4.38. Whereas Jalen Wright looks nimble on the field, mm-hmm. Trey Benson looks refined and more.
He'll run through you.
He's running through you, but also seeing the field a little bit more versus acting mm-hmm. on instincts with a Jalen Wright. And I think that's two different combinations of the same kind of quickness that differentiate these guys.
Absolutely. There are very few things that I dislike about Benson's profile. There's a little bit of inconsistency as a runner between the tackles, where it's a little bit boom bust kind of deal. Not necessarily going to consistently be, you know, we're going to get 3 to 4 yards out of this guy every time. He's going to fall forward and we'll chug along that way. But that's the handoff when you're going with a guy that is going to be a big game player, a big play producer in that way. So other than that, he had a big knee injury in 2020, but that was a long time ago, and we've seen him be really fantastic since then. So yeah, I like Trey Benson a lot. He's my favorite running back in this class. That being said, let's transition easily here to a Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Folks here in the great state of Tennessee will know a lot about this guy. They watched him a lot on Saturdays. What's he going to look like when we see him on Sundays, you think?
It's tough for me to see him having a full-time role, right? I think that he's one of those players that, if given the bell cow opportunity, might not succeed in with that. Obviously, the speed is really great, but the build is more concerning there. 5'10", 210 pounds, you know, that speed you can see in the broad jump as well. It's honestly some of the best in the class there. And it's why He has that ability to kind of take off with that quickness and also still be so nimble. But you know, the elusiveness I think is not really there. It's more just quick, rash decisions versus, you know, calculated moves with the Jalen Wright. However, like, speed wins in the NFL nowadays sometimes. And if you're looking for a guy like that, Jalen Wright will beat you in a race.
Foot race.
And I think that is something that teams are going to really like about him.
Yeah, he's also a big play back, similar to Benson. He's just not he's got the home run speed. He's not got the home run hitting ability. He's not going to run through a guy, but he's really, really athletic, got smooth footwork, can jump out of the gym, you know, 98th percentile broad, 86th percentile vert. Like you said, a 95th percentile 40. He's just not the biggest player. But frankly, if he's durable, I don't really care. He's built like a Justice Hill or a Breece Hall physically. You're just hoping you don't get that. He's also built like a Darrington Evans, who Titans fans will know. You're hoping you don't get that that floor out of the guy. You're hoping you get closer to a Justice Hill or a Breece Hall. In reality, I think you know, like, a Justice Hill might be the fair expectation for him as a rotational guy who you love having on your team, and in the right system with the right coordinator who knows how to utilize him, you'll get the most out of Wright. But I don't necessarily think he'll be the best fit for every team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
All right, let's get to the end. By the way, he's number 76 on the consensus board. So he is consensus running back 4. He is my running back 3, running back 2. You have the consensus number 1 running back in this class as your number 1 back. He's my number 2 back. It's Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. This is the only guy that wouldn't shock me to see go in the top 50 picks. If one were to go, he wouldn't shock me to go in the second round and be the first guy off the board, because people really, really like this guy. I didn't quite like him as much as Benson, but I liked him a lot. Since he's your number 1 guy, I'll let you go first. What did you like about Brooks?
Texas has been in an all-time heater, man, just churning out some really quality running backs, starting
running back
with
Bijan,
and then who's the other one from Texas? His name starts with a D. It's escaping me.
From last year?
Yes. He plays for the Bears, but I don't remember his name. Despite that, the
yeah,
vision,
I'm gonna find it.
The vision that kind of Jonathan Brooks plays with has me thinking that this guy could be an every down guy. However, I think he's one of the most, he's one of the biggest unique situations in this class, as in he ended the year with an ACL tear. So how much of that really affects his draft stock? I think
Roschon Johnson, by the way.
Roschon Johnson. Thank you. I was going to say Dearness Johnson and knew that exactly
different
was
Johnson.
Not correct.
Yep. Yep.
However, Jonathan Brooks, man, he has the ability and the patience and the visibility of the field that makes you feel like this guy can be an every down back. However, I think the injuries are just a huge concern coming off now.
Yep.
An ACL tear, probably will not be ready for the first week or the first part of the season. So that'll be really interesting to see where his draft stock falls or rises given this situation that he has.
Yeah, he's got all the requisite numbers you're looking for. I mean, 6 foot 216, strong athlete. Somebody that, like, if I had to hang my hat on one thing with him, it's the elusiveness. He's very nimble. He's got the smoothest footwork of this group. Very, very young, only 20 years old. That combination of elusiveness in the backfield and in between the tackles, along with proving to be a guy that can handle a strong workload. Last year had almost 1,200 yards at Texas, 6.1 yards per carry and 10 touchdowns. He was utilized a little bit in the passing game as well. I just think that elusiveness and the tackle breaking ability to create is something that you can look at as an NFL team and say, we can utilize that on our team. Even if he's not the bell cow back, he's not the one, he can come in and immediately be an impact for you as a two.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what you need him to be right now, especially with his situation. But you know, learning behind Bijan Robinson in that room, they've been churning out some really successful running backs with some really good traits, and I think Jonathan Brooks is no different.
All right, that's the running backs. That's the top 10 running backs in the 2024 NFL Draft.